Blog Talk Radio.
I live life sucker free. That's why the niggas you be with talk down like they don't fuck with me. I get money realistically, and the homies show me love. Groupies wanna lead a club with me. Ain't nothing to a G. Let your hair blow in the breeze. Roll some bomb ass weed. Get high, cruise at a jet ski. Do it like I do it for TV. 675 Damiere LV. Selling something with tax. And when I'm on the plane, got the carry on to match. Nigga, that's flat.
What's up? Good evening. It's been a minute. A little week hiatus due to Thanksgiving holidays. Getting fat, all of that. But anyway, thank you for joining me. This is Scott Burks, and this is the Clown Hour. And I'm the creator of the sports blog called The Clown Times. And that's Clown spelled with a K. You'll be able to find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you'll be able to find me on Facebook as well. Just having a little bit of fun right now. Pretty much just getting on Jeff Fisher and for what he's trying to do with their Erica Dickerson earlier this week, and trying to backtrack on that, more on that in a moment. But you can find me on Facebook. That's just go to the search window, the upper left hand corner. Just type in the Clown Times. Again, it's Clown spelled with a K. You'll be able to find me there as well. So speaking of Jeff Fisher, you know, we all know of what's going on with the brouhaha, if you will, with Eric Dickerson and Jeff Fisher, as well as Charlie Strong getting fired early in the week. So we're going to tackle a couple of those topics tonight. So help me with this. Y'all know who he is. He really needs an introduction, but I'll do it anyway. He's the creator of the Yard/HBCU Sports, as well as Blog Talk Radio, Sleazy Radio, on every Tuesday night. Give it up for my man, Dwayne Nash. Another man. How was your Thanksgiving?
Man, which part of Thanksgiving? Because, you know, I had two parts of Thanksgiving. You know, I had, you know, the thankful part where I spent with family, and then sure. I had the football side. So the family part, of course, was nice and quiet. But the football right. side was a little rough, man. If you want to combine my two alma maters, my high school and my college, and then, of course, mm-hmm. the Redskins, all for that particular Thursday and Saturday, all three teams went 0-3. So my high school
That's
was
right.
playing for the city championship here in D.C. and came up short by 2 points. You know, my Skins came up short against Dallas on the road. You know, I like to thank architecture of AT&T Stadium and that unforgiving sun shining in for the second quarter for that loss. And then my beloved Aggies, our beloved Aggies, went
hurt.
To Richmond and could not generate offense at all. And
right.
matter of fact, I haven't spoken to you in a while, so I was actually in Durham for the game against Central and –
Oh,
I'm gonna say that the Central game hurt more. To sit
That's
there and
think.
Have to watch that, yeah, that hurt more, and had to travel for a second consecutive year to go and see that happen. But this year was a blowout. You know, it was luckily the turkey wasn't as tough as the football for me.
Can't have tough turkey. You can't have tough turkey. I hear you that. I hear on that.
Now, how
man.
About your Thanksgiving?
Hey.
How was that?
Oh, it was good. It was good. It would have been better if Dallas lost. And my dad feels yeah. your pain. He's a fellow Washington fan, and it hurt him to even watch it. It was hard for him to watch the second half. So, yeah, but it was good. But the last part was good because my Steelers beat the Colts. So
yeah.
I'll be without Andrew Luck. But hey, I'll take a win. Hey. A win's a win, especially on the road.
Nope. No matter how you get it, you got it.
Yes, there you go. Oh, and one more thing. My beloved Wolfpack defeated those damn Tar Heels. I'm happy.
Yes, I saw that score,
I'm
too.
I'm very
yes.
happy. They made up for the Dallas win. So it's all good. but you know who else could have had a happier Thanksgiving weekend? Charlie Strong. Of course,
yeah.
You all know that Charlie Strong got fired. And I wrote a post on my blog early last week before the TCU game, you know, saying that, you know, hey, I understand that the brother had a less than 500 record, sub 500 record, 16 and 21, rather, will go down percentage-wise as the worst coach in Texas history. I hate that for him. But I still think, you know, he could have had more time. You got to give him more than three seasons. But I understand it's Texas, but it just messed up all the way around. So why do you think Charles Strong got fired? Was it justifiable given his record, or should he have given more time with more recruits since he was pretty much cleaning up what Matt Brown messed up at the end?
You see, that's the thing. With him still not playing a full term with his recruits, technically I would want to give a coach about, say, 5 years, so that they at least have a full 4 years under their guys, and then that first year, of course, under the previous regime, just to see exactly how he does. But I know a lot of times, you know, schools will get impatient and wait 3 years to see how you do. And if there isn't any change whatsoever, which happened in Charlie Strong's case, you know, they're looking to make a move. My hope for them is that they're capable of getting a guy that they think is better than Charlie was. But you're right, with that 16-21 record overall, and also something else that probably stuck in their craw, because the fact that, or in their horns, if you will, the fact that they went 5-5 in state, you know, against TCU, Rice, Texas Tech, and so, you know, you go 5-5 in state and go, what, 1-2 against Oklahoma?
Yeah.
You're going to have a rough time at convincing somebody that you need to keep your job.
Well, you know what, on top of that, if that wasn't bad enough, they lost to Kansas. You don't lose to Kansas if you're Texas. You just don't do it. And, I love Charles Strong. I think he's a hell of a coach. I don't think he even got to coach overnight. I just think that, I mean, you know, okay, this is where I come out on this. I'm a firm believer, similar to what you alluded to earlier, a new coach needs at least 4 recruiting cycles to get his footprint on the program. Okay? In other words, especially if you're in a situation you're stronger than I mean let's face it, when he came to Texas, the cover was there. I mean, Mac Brown, he was a great coach, but in the end, he whipped Bobby Bowden on them. I mean, it was just bare. I mean, they had no players drafted in the league. I think Matt Brown's last year, and then Charles Strong comes in and has to discipline half the squad, which kind of lends to why they were underachieving in the last few years under Matt Brown, because they were undisciplined on and off the field. And Charlie Strong is not about that. He's about discipline. On and off, off the field.
And
he had
to
clean up. He had to suspend 11 players, and that left him with mostly sophomores and freshmen. And that was the case this past year as well. I mean, he didn't suspend anybody that I know of, but his team was mostly freshmen and sophomore laden. And now with Tom Herman, which we'll get to in a minute, coming in, he's going to have the benefit of having the shot covered. And that's all thanks to Charlie Strong. But you're about to make a point, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, I was going
to
make 2 quick points. Point number one being, you're right, you cannot lose to Kansas. At least the Texas State Armadillos were capable of tying Kansas. But I digress. Shout out for those that are, you know, necessary Roughness fans. But I would say that the administration at least should give kudos for Charlie Strong for his disciplinary actions on students that are doing well. I mean, if wins are more important to you, fire Charlie Strong. But, you know, I guess they want their players to go wild and win games. I guess that's more important than having a program that's staying out of trouble.
Right. And this is the most – I have 2 things. There are 2 things that, to me, are the more heartbreaking parts of all of this. For one, like – Charlie Strong, like, he cleaned up the culture. And, you know, the fact is he reportedly met with his players every week to go over their grades. and to make sure they're going to class and to keep them focused. And, you know, that's commendable. And this culture of winning and losing games in college football, I'm not saying that most coaches don't do that. I don't know that for sure. But I'm pretty damn sure that's not the priority. You know what I'm saying? So, for a Charlie Strong to change the culture of the program and clean it up and still not be able to keep his job, again, I understand he lost to Kansas. You can't lose to Kansas. And it's a 16-21 record. It's not that grand for 3 years. But to lose that discipline on and off the field in the classroom and in the community, that hurts. And his players love him. I mean, his players were crying at his press conference before and after the TCU game. You can tell that the players are under pressure to perform for him, to keep his job, but it just wasn't meant to be. The pressure probably got to those young men. And the most heartbreaking part about this whole thing. I'm afraid that Strong is going to be given the Tyrone Whittingham treatment. What I mean by that is, remember when Whittingham was as hot as things, as sliced bread, when he was leading Stanford to those bowls? I mean, people think that Jim Harbaugh was the one that got Stanford going.
No.
It was actually Tyrone Whittingham that got that program going. People don't remember that, whether they choose to or they just don't remember. But he got that program going. That's what landed him the Notre Dame gig. You remember, he was only given 3 years instead of the customary five, the Notre Dame chance to give coaches. Hell, they let Charlie White stay there for 5 years.
Yep.
Why not Tyrone Whittingham? But that's another podcast for another day, and I think you know where I'm going with that.
Exactly.
I think you know where I'm going with that. But I digress. But since that Notre Dame stint, Whittingham has yet to have a major college football coaching job. And that's very, given the dearth of African-American men coaching major Division I college football, that's sad. And that's heartbreaking. And I'm afraid the same will happen to Charlie Strong. Now, mind you, people remember what he did at Louisville, building that program up. But remember, it took him a long time to get that opportunity. You know, he passed over time and time and time and time again. And I'm afraid it's going to happen to him again. And it's sad, it's not right, given the amount of retreads that get hired from his colleagues left and right. It's messed up. I'm trying not to cuss because it's really messed up, but it is what it is. So that's. I mean, again, those are the two most heartbreaking things about this whole ordeal. The floor is yours.
Yeah, and that's the thing that that bothers me. First and foremost, to your point about Charlie Strong checking on his players. Now, if he was doing it himself, you're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about a FCS-level school, you're not going to get a coach that does that. You may get an assistant that does that, you won't get a head coach that does that, not at all. Because you know what? He has to worry about the boosters. He has to worry about winning games. So that he can keep his job. So his job is not to wrangle the students together, make sure they're going to study hall, make sure they're studying, and make sure they're passing classes. His job is to make sure that they win. So, yeah, if Charlie was going out of his way to do that, he was doing something that few and far between coaches do on that level, and I commend him for that. But, I feel for you. Well, I feel like you do in terms of he may get the Tyrone Whittingham treatment and may end up not getting another job on that level. And, of course, that discussion is another lengthy discussion for another time. I completely agree with you on that, too.
Exactly. So, again, it's messed up. I'm hopeful. I mean, I'm looking around at the landscape, brother. The one thing that's that, I mean, sure, I was happy that I'm talking about myself for a minute. That NC State, we beat Carolina, and we beat them down at their place. But the sad part is that we're going to get that clown, Dave Doran, for another year because they already announced that he was going to come back, I guess, on the strength of beating Carolina and getting to a bowl game, which infuriates the hell out of me and probably most NC State fans. Charlie Strong could have landed there. I mean, there are other places where he could really do a good job without the pressure. I mean, let's face it, the Texas boosters – that environment in Texas was so dysfunctional. You had the Boosters, who pretty much run the show. I mean, ever since the Lost Dawes left, the legendary athletic director, the Boosters have been running the show. And one particular, Red McCombs, his ass wanted John Gruden, and pretty much said, he did say out loud that Strong could make a good defensive coordinator or something. You know what I mean? I mean, so he was fighting an uphill battle. It's not fair. And I know people want to inject race in this part of the equation, but keep in mind that most folks don't realize this. They wanted to bring in Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh's Mike Tomlin, and well before Charlie Strong. So Charlie Strong was pretty much choice number 7 or 8, if that high, on the list. But still,
yeah.
I mean, I know the Texas administration wanted Strong to succeed. I for damn sure believe that the president did, the athletic director, both athletic directors, the one who hired him, who was fired, Steve Patterson, and the interim athletic director, he wanted him to succeed. But again, results are results. You can't lose to Kansas. You lose by 30 to TCU at home. So,
no.
Again, it's sad that he didn't get his 4 or 5 years to really make an impact with his recruiting, because next season, Tom Herman, it will be shocking if Texas doesn't win 10 games, because all those sophomores and freshmen who balled out this year, mind you, they won't have the stud running back. He declared for the drafts earlier today. They will be back, and they balled out, and they'll be back, and those boys are going to be good. I would be shocked if they win less than 9-10 games. So guess who's going to get the credit for that? Tom Herman.
Of course he will.
Charles Strong for bringing those guys in. So, again, it is what it is. It's heartbreaking. It's messed up. But, yeah. So do you think he'll get another opportunity? We're just wrapping up with that question. Huh?
I was going to say I would hope so. Now, do I think that he'll get another opportunity in a Power 5 conference? I doubt very seriously. I would love to see him go somewhere, maybe in the MAC, because, I mean, there are a ton of bad teams in the MAC that potentially would love to have a Charlie Strong come in and revitalize that program, especially with the name that he carries. I mean, there are other conferences, too, where he could potentially go and turn around programs. But as of right now, do I see him, like I said before, in the Power 5 in the near future? I doubt it. I really do doubt it. And
that's
sad. It's a shame. It is very much shameful. Now, how long will it take for him to get another job? That's the thing that I'm afraid of as well. You know, will it be a situation where he's capable of getting something within the next 3 years? That's my hope, and I have my fingers crossed for that. But if it doesn't happen, I will not be shocked. I will not be shocked.
That's sad. I mean, damn, I could talk another 10 minutes, but we got to move on to Eric Dickerson. But Lane Kiffin got two job opportunities in college.
Uh-huh.
And Charlie Strong barely got one at Louisville, and then got another one at Texas, and then is about to be banished from coaching, it seemed like. I mean, you have so many coaches, undeserved. I hate to take away people's jobs, but so many, in my opinion, underdeserving folks with multiple job opportunities. And this guy may be damn near blackball, pardon the expression, for like a good minute. I mean, again, I'm afraid that he's going to get the Tyrone Willingham treatment. But I think that it wouldn't surprise me either if that happened. It's sad, especially given what NC State wanted to stay and satisfy with mediocrity and retaining Dave Doran, but and many others like NC State out there. We all know there's plenty of them. But, I mean, hell, Indiana could use them because Indiana just fired their coach today. They could use a Charlie Strong. I mean, could you imagine Charlie Strong in the Big Ten with Harbaugh, Meyer, all those cats? I mean, that would be great, but I mean,
it would be interesting. My thing would be this, though.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see that, but for him to have to compete with Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa every year, it would be very tough for him at an Indiana. Now, Indiana, I've seen them play some good ball today or this year, but to have those five programs ahead of you, and I know that I'm probably missing Illinois. Illinois is another program that is on and off like
Levy
every
Smith.
Other year. Exactly.
Levy Smith, he's
so,
got those guys playing. Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, you have situations like that where I guess where that there's so many bowl games, and once again, that's another another conversation for another day. What you're doing is at this point is aiming for at least six wins so that you can get a bowl appearance. Because if they put in the program, that's all they're looking for is a bowl appearance and a bowl win. Now, you start going to, I would say there are about maybe 15 to 20 other programs that they're looking for a national title. And if you come away with anything less at that point, you have to at least win a conference title.
Right.
You don't win either one of those. Yeah, you don't win one of those, you're gone. And then you have other programs where, let's get a bowl and let's, you know, continue to build morale within our boosters and get money that way and generate money that way. And your job is okay as long as you don't walk away with a losing season. But that's the thing. You could not do that at Texas. No Big 12 championships. You coming in sub 500 all 3 years. The one bowl game that you go to, you lose, and the team was 6-6 then. It's messed up that they didn't give him the proper time, but the writing was on the wall. It wasn't a whole lot of writing, but it was on the wall, and it needed to be addressed.
Right, and again, to your point, you can't lose to Kansas. That's all that needs to be said. You can't lose to Kansas,
and you can't go 1-3 against to Oklahoma. Or 1-2 to Oklahoma.
Right, exactly. 1-2, yeah. You definitely can't do that. So that combination, plus him fighting an uphill battle from day one, it just wasn't meant to be for him. But sorry for spending so much time on him, but because we got a few minutes for Eric Dickerson. So you know what happened to Eric Dickerson and Jeff Fisher. Eric Dickerson gave that interview to ESPN saying that he got a phone call from Jeff Fisher saying that his players did not feel comfortable with Dickerson on the sidelines because of stuff that he said on his radio show about the team. In other words, he's being punished for being objective. And then Fisher, saw him backtrack and saying, well, no, he can welcome me anytime, blah, blah, blah. And the COO, I forget that dude's name, who backed Fisher. It's just a craziness. It's such a cluster bleep. Let me ask you this. We're just scratching our heads here. I scratched my head. Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman scratched their heads on First Take all week talking about this, as did Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, which is a very good show, by the way, Undisputed. What the hell was Jeff Fisher thinking?
You know what? I think I said it on your show before. Tesla, Jeff, I don't know what he has on the owner. First and foremost, is allowing him to keep his job. For those that have looked at his overall record, he's coached, 20 years? And I don't think he's had more. He may have had more than five winning records. And when I say winning, I mean 9-7 or better. And especially in St. Louis, where, oh, my God, they win the sweepstakes with the RG3 trade and only come away with Janoris Jenkins, who leaves? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I forget the D-lineman that they got in that draft, too. But this dude is still capable of keeping his job. And in the beginning of the season, of course, he announces on the Hard Knocks that they're not going to go to 7-9 again. And what are they about to do? Go 7-9.
The 4-7 right now.
Exactly. So,
right,
you know, they're on their way. But for the players, first and foremost, not to be able to take, you know, criticism and bothered by him by being on the sidelines, it's hilarious to me. If it bothers you, play better. But the thing is this, I understand that losing falls on two groups, players and coaches. Now,
right.
Either the coaches aren't coaching well, or the players aren't playing well. Actually, three people, three groups of people. Front office, coaches, players. Front office, in most cases, they're the ones responsible for drafting players, but they correspond, hopefully, with the coach in order to make those decisions. The coaches coach the players. The players are the ones that are on the field playing. So there's some sort of issue there where something needs to be addressed, but for whatever reason, Jeff Fisher has the ability and the right to do whatever he wants and say whatever he wants and still keep his job. But, of course, the players are put out there as they're the scapegoats. They're the reason why. They're the ones feeling uncomfortable with Eric Dickerson coming to the sidelines. So now you alienate one of the best players in the franchise's history from coming to games. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to come to games as long as he's the coach. It's not a problem with the players. He doesn't have beef with the players. He doesn't have beef with the front office. It's the coach. So
how do you alienate?
It's insane. But, yeah, it's something that has to be done with Jeff Fisher. And I doubt very seriously as of right now anything will happen.
But here's the deal, man. He's one of those guys, he being Eric Dickerson. Dickerson's one of those guys where not only should he ask, he not have to ask permission to be on the sideline to watch his team, his former team. He shouldn't even have to bring ID because they know who he is. They know who he is in L.A. He's still loved in L.A. You know, he's a Ram legend. That's like asking Ray Lewis to show ID to go to a Ravens home game and stay on the sideline. You're not going to do that to Ray Lewis. You're not going to do it to Shannon Sharp. You're not going to do it to the other legends. Just because they make an opinion that they get paid to do, whether it be on a radio show, TV show, whatever, they're analysts. Their jobs are to analyze. Okay.
Exactly.
It's not personal. They're just going by what they see. If they're not telling the truth, they're not doing their job.
Not at all.
Then the thing is for Jeff Fisher,
he's a Coliseum legend.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Think about it. He's a Coliseum legend. Because, of course, he played for both the Rams and the Raiders. So he doesn't need ID to walk into the Coliseum, period. He's like, dude, I'm Eric Dickerson. I played for two franchises here and beasted out on both of them. But, yeah, for him to be asked not to do his job is insane.
Yeah, exactly. So I was going to ask you this question, but you already answered it, and I kind of agree with you giving that COO statement. I don't think anything's going to happen to Jeff Fisher. I think he's been given so many extensions, I don't see anything happening to him. I mean, that's the sad part. Why would the Rams be, or anyone be content with mediocrity? Hell, why is this dude getting jobs year after year and extensions year after year after year? His last winning season was 2008. That's 9 seasons ago.
Yeah.
He's only had, what was the stat? I think one winning season between, or two, I guess, between 2006 and 2016. So maybe one season, maybe one winning season.
Sounds about right, yeah.
What did he do with all those picks that he got in the RG3 trade? I mean, why does he still have a job? Does he have pictures of the owner? Does he have pictures of the COO?
You know what? I originally thought that it was pictures of the owner. I'm going to go ahead and say it's probably a sex tape of the owner with another owner. Who knows? That's just me being ridiculous and insane. But it has to be something outlandish. It has to be something insane. Maybe it's sex tapes with the Rams owner and the Titans owner. Who knows? But it has to be something insane that this dude, for 10 years, one winning season, I've seen head coaches. Man, Daniel Snyder has gotten rid of coaches for less. I've seen him get rid of Schottenheimer for turning a team that started the year 0-5 to making them 5-5 and 8-8 at the end of the year. Got rid of him.
Yeah,
he went 8-8, and this dude.
Yeah, I remember.
This is insane. I've seen other owners get rid of coaches for more, but he still has a job.
Yeah.
What is
so
it?
I guess what this battle here of the wills, if you will, I guess we won't see Eric Dickerson at the Coliseum for the next couple of seasons. I think the Rams may hand Chip Fisher another extension for some inexplicable reason. I think
well,
the 7-9
is
going to stick around for a while.
Say this, and for those who are fans, of course, who will listen to Sleazy Sports, they know that our one of our guys who are out there and who's actually in Los Angeles, my main man, LL Skippy Cool Fish, he's let us know on multiple occasions that the Rams right now are the fourth best, well, the fourth pro team in terms of hierarchy in the city of LA,
right.
and that's behind
yeah.
the Clippers, the Lakers, and even the Dodgers. And if
yeah.
you're talking about football teams, they're probably the third favorite football team in LA, maybe the fourth one if the Chargers come into town. So you have a situation where you have an organization who is not looked upon highly by the fans. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
if you get to that bottom line, like my man Stone Cold Steve Austin, which, of course, is money,
yeah.
if they start getting hurt down there, then that's probably when Fisher ends up losing his job. But until then, I see him still on that staff.
Unbelievable. Un-freaking believable. And you know you messed up when you're lower than the Clippers. The Clippers are the always would be the Lakers' little brother, even though they're doing far better than the Lakers. But oh
yeah.
boy, oh boy, it's a damn shame. Hey, thanks for joining me, man. We'll hope for the best for Eric Dickerson and perhaps Charlie Strong as well.
Yes, sir. And for those watching or listening out there, SWAC championship game this weekend. Winner goes
yes.
to the Celebration
yes.
Bowl between Grambling and Alcorn State. First time ever. For the SWAC championship game, you have a team that is 500 in the championship game in Alcorn State. So it's kind of intriguing what will happen with the Celebration Bowl winner or with the SWAC championship winner going to Celebration Bowl.
Cool. Hey, thanks a lot for the plug. And y'all check that out, please. And thank you very much for that, man. Take care.
No problem. You do the same.
All right. Peace out. That's my guy, Dwayne Nash, breaking it down. I mean, this is Eric. I mean, Charlie Strong. That whole situation is so heartbreaking. I don't think he's going to get another opportunity. Now that I think about it, I think he's going to get the Tyrone Willingham treatment, which is a damn shame. He's so much more. He's so much better than a lot of these coaches out here doing their thing. And for the Eric Dickerson, Jeff Fisher saga, that's just plain ridiculous. Let Eric Dickerson stay on the sideline. And fire Fisher's ass the way out. He's missing 7-9 for a reason. And I didn't even get to the fact that he's only a few games from being the losingest coach of all time in NFL history. So there's that too. But maybe the Rams do not care. But anyway, this is Scott Burks. Thank you for listening to Clown Hour. Take care, 06. Have a good weekend. Peace.